it is to be a part of a church this morning. Not just any church either. There are a lot of different churches in the world. But to be the part of a part of that church that God made, the assembly that God made, and that chose and shaped and put all the blessings for us. I was thinking how that the world, even the world, when it wants to move men, makes the appeal to their mother. Even a hardened sinner can oftentimes be appealed to by this tenderness towards the relationship he has with his mother. Where did that come from? Well, God made that. Right? It's not an accident in history that men attached to the person that ministered to him when he was helpless. We might be strong men sitting in the church today. Maybe you've got a business. Maybe you've walked through the fire. Maybe you survived a lot of hardship in your life. Maybe you're strong. Maybe you know a lot of things. Maybe you've got a lot of force. But there was a day when you were helpless. And God in heaven has so ordained life. He ordained life. Jesus Christ designed it. In the beginning, He could have made men grow out of the dirt. He could have made us grow from seeds like the plant. He could have made us any way He chose. But He, in His sovereign plan and wisdom, gave every one of us this perfect way of coming into the world utterly helpless, utterly dependent, and that it should work in our hearts a right and good sensitivity and appreciation for the person that He chose to put us in care of. And that was our mother. I was looking for the song, "Lord, Give Us Christian Homes." Is that the name of it? 441. Maybe we can stand. And Brother Mark, would you come up here and lead us? Or who's leading today? I guess Brother Nathan. Sorry. Brother Nathan, would you come up and lead us in that song, "Lord, Give Us Christian Homes"? I like the verse in here that talks about the mother and how much our mothers affect whether the home is godly or not. Would you mind coming up and leading us in that?
Lord, give us Christian homes. Homes where the Bible is loved and taught. Homes where the Master's will is sought. Homes crowned with pure thy love hath wrought. Lord, give us Christian homes. Lord, give us Christian homes. Lord, give us Christian homes. Homes where the Bible is true and strong. Homes that that are free from the blight of wrong. Homes that are joyous with love and song. Lord, give us Christian homes. Lord, give us Christian homes. Lord, give us Christian homes. Homes where the mother is queenly clad, strives to show others thy way is that. Homes where the heart is an other guest. Lord, give us Christian homes. Lord, give us Christian homes. Lord, give us Christian homes. Homes where the children are led to know Christ in His beauty who loves them so. Homes where the altar fires burn and glow. Lord, give us Christian homes. Lord, give us Christian homes.
Bow for prayer.
Yes, Father, thank you for your wonderful, wise plan. Thank you for making the world the way you did. Thank you for the goodness of God manifest in mothers. Hallowed be your name this morning. Hallowed be the goodness of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We bless you that are represented here, Lord. We thank you for giving women into the world to bear children, to raise them up and give their lives for others. Hallowed be your name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your wisdom in all you have done when you created the world, when you set it in motion, when you designed it in all its wonders, in all its blessings, all its beauties, all its goodness. Your way is right and good. We agree with you this morning. We see the beauty and the blessing and say, Amen. It is good. You've done well. Hallowed be your name. Praise ye the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, as most of you who know me know, my wife probably knows the best. Once I'm tracked, I don't change tracks very easy. But this morning, I'm going to do my best to do that. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 2. Starting in verse 18, it says, And the Lord God said, It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. And out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he should call them.
And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found any help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. And therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife were not ashamed." Isn't it interesting that the world, while it denies the Scripture and denies the Word of God, is still bound by this sacred dominance, in that we still call woman woe man. We still, the name that Adam gave to his wife Eve is still her name today. We don't call her something else. That's one thing that has held for 6,000 years in every language. We still call her woman. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I so appreciate that truth that our brother Mose mentioned at a wedding one time. I think it was Kevin and Jewel were being married, and he began the wedding by saying, "You know why we're here? We're here because Kevin needs help. Kevin needs help, Jewel. He needs a helper that's suitable for him." And the Lord Jesus Christ was the one in Genesis chapter 1. We learn that from John chapter 1, that all things were made by Him, and without Him was nothing made that was made. We learn it from Hebrews that says that in Colossians that God made the world by Him, that Jesus Christ made the world. And our Lord Jesus Christ was present when He said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I'll make him a woman. I'll make a helper for him." And we often get help meet mixed up with help mate. She's not a helpmate. She's a help meet. Meet means suitable. Meet means appropriate. Meet means adapted to. And when God looked over the animal kingdom and he said, "Everything that I've made, there's not one helper that is suitable, that is appropriate and meet for man. I'm going to make him an appropriate helper." And in his wisdom, the Lord Jesus looked at the situation and said, "What this man needs is a wife. I'm going to make him a wife." And he made him, as it says there, out of his own self. And Adam said, "She came out of me. She's a part of me." And called her woman. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, our family just was reading here. I wanted to read. It's 1 Corinthians 11, actually, I wanted to look at. This whole matter of headship strikes us kind of odd in our generation because of the lack of honor there is for women. But here in the 1 Corinthians 11, when it talks about the headship order of authority, it lays it very clearly. Paul talks here about headship veiling. But I want to point out in verse 7, it says, "For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and the glory of God. But the woman is the glory of man. For the man is not of the woman, and I want to, I'll just, if I can just talk about language here for a little bit. It says, for the man is not of woman, meaning in the Greek there's a tense called the genitive, and that's what this is. Genitive is that, is the, it's not a tense, the verb tense. It's a case. There's a case. The case, the genitive case rules that of origin. This is the genitive of origin. It says, a man, for the man does not originate from woman, but the woman of man. Woman originates from man. Man originates from God. Like it says in the book of Matthew, when it comes to the end of the genealogies of Christ, it's not Matthew, it's I think it's the genealogy in Luke that ends in Adam, with Adam, and it says Adam, the son of God. And so the scriptures teach us that man originated from God, but God in his wisdom chose that a woman should originate from man, in that she was taken out of man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman is of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. And if we can just take the Word of God as it is and then set it in stark contrast to our culture and society today, we see that the generation we're living in is very far from the truth of Scripture. We have men being led about by women, by their lusts. Women are the smart ones. They're the dominant ones. They're the movers, the pushers, the leaders. And men are just kind of following meekly behind. And it's not according to man, to God's order. It's not according to the plan that God made for man and woman. It says here, neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. And for this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. And then Paul, and God in his wisdom, makes this exception. He says, but nevertheless, and he says, I think the motivation here is it can seem like woman is not very valuable here. Where, you know, what I'm saying is that, well, the woman doesn't, man, it wasn't made for the woman. The woman was made for man. And in our fallen state, then the man's attitude can soon rise to think, you know, I'm somebody, you know, she was made for me, and put her there. But what does it say in verse 11? It says, but nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, meaning genitive of source, so is the man by the woman, which is the dative case here. By is means agency. It is the dative of agency. So that little word of and that little word by make a distinction here, a great distinction. The woman, the man, the woman is of man, meaning her source came out of man, but the man is by the woman, meaning the agency of woman. In other words, every man here in this room has to say, without a woman, I wouldn't be here, by God's plan. And so God has balanced the whole thing. And he says, in the Lord and by the Lord, actually in there is can be translated in or by. God has arranged it in such a balanced state that in the world, no one exalts himself. Every man must recognize in his heart of hearts that he came into the world solely by the graces and the goodness and the sufferings of his mother. And every man came into the world naked and helpless. Every one of us was nurtured and fed by some woman. And in that way, she should be honored and reverenced. Though God has given her a place of subservience or a subjection to the man, and a servitude to man's purposes, yet he has made every man made her the benefactor of every man. For the woman is, the man is by the woman. It says the same thing in Timothy, 2 Timothy. Someone tell me the passage that talks about widows. Okay, 1 Timothy 5 says, honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. For she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplication and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. And it says in verse 6, and if any man provide not for his own house, verse 8, pardon me, but if any provide not for his own house, and especially for those of his own house, specifically speaking about his widowed mother, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Let not a widow be taken into number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she hath brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse. We'll stop reading there. The thing I think about this morning most of all is I was just talking with my wife this morning, and she was telling us about some people that she met who have traded the proper orders of God for homosexuality. In light of this morning, all the blessings, how does it look to us this morning? Amen. How does it look to us this morning? Amen. In all the realities and the blessedness, the pureness, the goodness, the rightness, the soundness, and the blessedness of motherhood, and then set to it the selfish, dark, evil,
yes,
lustful life of homosexuality.
Amen.
Does it not seem abominable?
Yes.
Where would every child in here that took a rose be if we were to yield a moment to believe that that's an option? It is far from the plan of God.
That's right.
It is opposed to the plan of God. It is diametrically and diabolically opposed to all that is good and pure and right. Homosexuality is an abomination to the human race. It is an abomination to God. It is an abomination to the Creator of the world. And this morning, every man's heart witnesses that it be true. Because it defies motherhood. It defies goodness. It defies the sacrificial life of raising children. And rather turns it into selfish, dark, passionate, sinful, self-serving wickedness. I wanted to say here again too this morning, with our hearts and minds so blessed with the realization that God in His goodness has made things so well. Now, let's put a billboard up here. Let's put a billboard up here for all you women. And let's preach the gospel of the world and see how it strikes our hearts this morning. That's the gospel of the world. It's all about you. It's all about you. Serve yourself. You need to think about yourself, mothers. You need to give yourself time for you. You need an iPad and a me in my documents. You need a my pictures folder and a my time place in your life and a my this and a my that and a me. That's the gospel that the world is preaching to women. Now let's just lay it out this morning in stark contrast with what we've just experienced at this microphone. And how does it strike us this morning? Who's telling the truth? Who's telling the truth? How many of these blessings would you have heard this morning if you'd have followed this counsel? Not much. Not many. Those that have difficulty sharing these testimonies are ones whose mothers felt this way and took that counsel and lived their own lives and took their own careers and didn't want their children and treated their children that way. Then when the Sunday morning comes along and it's time for the children to bless their mothers, they're the mothers that are sitting in their seats saying, "Oh, I wish I'd have given up my life more." Right, mothers?
Right.
Aren't you glad you gave your life up this morning when you hear those things? Doesn't it make your heart say, "Lord, your way is good. I wish I could yield more to it." God bless each one of you. I believe that God's plan is good and right. It crosses our flesh. But if a man and a woman takes the road that the Lord Jesus in the beginning of time chose for us when He made us and created us, and I'm not saying there aren't deviations and as far as singlehood, but when a man and a woman submit to the plan of God and marry and have children and fill a quiver full of children, you are dedicating your entire existence here. You will be old women and men when you're done. You will fill the most vigorous time of your life from your 20s to your 60s with child rearing. And child rearing is self-sacrificing, isn't it? Who thinks child rearing is self-sacrificing? You give up your life, don't you, to be a mother. You give up your life to be a father. You identify yourself with a position and a role as a mother. And it isn't all about you. It's about them. It's about your husband. So where's the blessing come from? What's so blessed about staying up late at night? Being the first one up in the morning. Always being the servant and rarely the one at the table. Where is the blessing in it? And yet that is the plan of God, isn't it? According to the Scriptures, she's the one washing the servant's feet, the saint's feet. She's the one who has raised her children. And so that her children are obligated to bring it back to her in her hour of need. When she's a widow, when she can't take care of herself, when she's helpless, when she's weak, then it's the obligation of every child to say, "I need to return that which she gave me when I was weak, when I was foolish." You know, someday some of you women may be in a nursing home. You may say some pretty funny things, right? There's some men and women in those nursing homes that act pretty foolishly and childishly, don't they? Makes you smile, like that little story my children are reading about Brother David. I think it was Brother David that wants to sing that song so many times that the young people go to sing for him, and he sings, what's the name of the song? Do you know the song? Is it Rock of Ages or children, to help me. What song is it that David, that Brother David likes to hear so often? What is it? What is it, Dorcas? Oh, when the roll is called up yonder. And then they sing that for him, and two songs later he says, oh, by the way, do you know the song, When the Roll is Called Up Yonder? So they sing it again, and during the course of their visit, they sing it five times. Because the man's mind is going away and can't remember. Everybody's going to be a child twice, like my grandfather, Delmer Lee Hyten, said. He said, David, mark my words, you'll be a child twice. Someday, they'll wipe your bottom. Someday, they'll change your diapers. Someday, they'll clean up your slobber off your mouth. And someday, they'll spoon feed you again in your hour of need. And God has ordered it that it should be this cycle in our lives, that we should give ourselves to our children, to our families, and then come to our own hour of weakness, and it should reciprocate and minister. Well, where's the blessing then? Where's the payment for it all, if that is our life? God has promised us that He'll repay. When He looks upon your life, when He looks upon your children and all you've poured into them, and your life begins to ebb and begins to, the sun begins to set in your life, and you look at those children you've poured your life into, and you see in them a reflection of yourself, and that hope and that help begins to reciprocate in your life, then we say, God is good. His plan is good. And then Jesus says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. Now, I don't know about you, but there are a lot of people in the world I doubt will ever reward me for what I've done. But the Lord Jesus is the one person that I know is able to reward. He has enough to reward any good deed, any good done. The Lord Jesus can reward. Okay, let's just read in Proverbs 31 here. This virtuous woman. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Now what that means is that normally, an army would go out to war in the springtime and take care of the enemies that rebelled over the wintertime when nobody could go to war. And at the end of the day, all the goods accumulated from the war, the men would bring it back to the city, and it would have a time called the dividing of the spoil. And the dividing of the spoil was always a time of joy and gladness, when it was like a big party when everybody got stuff for free. You know, oh, I always needed one of those. I needed a horse like that, or I needed his saddle or bridle, or I needed that clothing. I needed those kind of shoes. I liked those household items that were in the enemy's houses, and all this stuff came back. And oh, there's this or that, or here's a pot and a pan, and the spoil would be divided up, and they would all take it into their house. This says here, this man, his heart's trust is safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. He's that man that's at the spoil dividing party and says, not for me. I don't need anything. Take it yourself. I've got a wife back home like you wouldn't believe. And I don't need anything. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Well, if she's doing him good and not evil all the days of her life, then where's the room for that philosophy that says, hey, sister, you need to think of yourself once in a while. Right? And that's not just out there. That's not just doctrine out there in the godless Philadelphia area world. That's Christian counseling today. You need to think of yourself. You need to forgive yourself. You need to make your own time. You need to make that baby have a quiet time so that they understand that mother needs her time. But that's not the kind of wife that's talked about here. That's not the kind of a motherhood that leads to blessedness. She does him good, not evil, all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She's like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She's over at Beebe's and she's down at Glenwood's and she knows just all the places. If you want to know where to go shopping, ask my wife. Ask my mother. She knows. She knows just where to go. She bringeth her food from afar. It says she seeketh wool and flax. She's always thinking about what's the needs of the family. What's the need of the home? She's always caring about what's going to be necessary. We want to be thinking ahead because we have hospitality this coming Sunday. What are we going to need to do? What are we going to need? Winter's coming. We're going to have to keep our eyes open for fabric sales and things like that. She's like the merchant ships and she bringeth her food from afar. I know women across the country who, when people are traveling from the Pennsylvania area, because we have so many Bent and Dent stores, that they call friends that they know are traveling, and they say, "Would you go to one of these Bent and Dent stores and load me up, and I'll pay you when I get here, because I can get it here so much cheaper than I can there, and the economy's low here, I can't make it, we need to feed all these children, would you help me?" And she gets on her telephone and calls her friend and says, "When you're coming, do you have room in your trunk for 4 or 5 boxes from a so-and-so place?" And she bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maids. How many of you have ever been sick when you were children? How many of you were ever sick when you're children? Raise your hands high. Okay, I don't see any exceptions. Some of you are not raising your hands. Are you? I think every one of us had the flu, right? Every one of us had some kind of illness that was serious. How many of your mothers lost sleep in your sickness? Because that's just the way mom is. She cares, and she's up late and gives up her own sleep. She considereth a field and buyeth it, and with the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. In other words, she's looking ahead, she's preparing, she's active, energetic. This is not a couch potato here. She considereth a field. She's busy. She's thinking about it. She's wondering if that would be the place to put a vineyard for her family. She's making work for her boys. She's making work for her girls. She's got a plan. She strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, and her candle goeth not out by night. She cares whether what she's doing is good or not. She layeth her hand to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. I so appreciate seeing young ladies growing up with needlework and knitting and crocheting and always a busy. I know maybe it's my mother. My mother was always a knitter and a crocheter. And she never did much. I think Sherry's mother did a lot of cross stitch. But whenever we were doing something, if we were in a meeting, you know, if we had a board meeting or something like that, you'd see my mother sitting next to my dad. And she was never looking up and watching what was going on in the congregation. She just had her hand down and her hands were busy. And she was, how do you call it, girls? Loop 9, drop 2. And, you know, it just was so is it knitting and dropping? I can't remember how it goes, but she didn't even think about it anymore. It was just like, and then, she'd get home and she'd talk about the meeting and how that this went on and that went on and what so-and-so said, and her mind could just do two things at one time. And it was just always busy. Her hand was busy at the distaff. A distaff is like some of you that don't know, they didn't used to always have spinning wheels like we see today in knitting or in weaving or what do you call that? Spinning. A distaff was a spindle about this long on a shaft, and then down here at the bottom was a spool where you would wind up the yarn on the spool. And then when you were out of yarn, maybe the yarn was only this much longer, you'd bring it up and hook it at the top of the distaff. And then you would spin it and you would feed more wool into it. And you would, the loose wool, you'd have loose wool in kind of like a, pull it out, off of a bundle. And you would feed that in. And it was it's a skill that women would learn. And they would just be spinning that thing, and they could spin it, and then they'd make about maybe 2 or 3 feet of yarn and disconnect it and wrap it up on the spool and reconnect it and spin it again, and they'd go again and they'd make it. And she was just, her hand, it says, she layeth her hand to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. I think both of those are talking about the same thing. She's busy. She's always busy. Her hands are always busy doing something profitable. Always something to make something necessary. Well, I don't want to just waste my time here. I'm not just going to sit down here and waste time. I want something accomplished with every moment of my life here. That's the attitude of this woman. She's not afraid of the snow for her household. In other words, some might be. Oh no, what am I going to do? Snow is coming. My children are going to get sick. We don't have any clothes. This woman's not afraid because she's busy. She's thinking ahead. She's prospering. For all her household are clothed with scarlet due to her frugality, due to her management of the home. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. If you know what tapestry is, that means that after the clothes are made, she would weave designs into the cloth. Very tedious, time-consuming. Her hands are always busy. It always reminds me, this verse always reminds me of the story of an Indian woman that was in prison. And she took the whole book, I think, of 1 John and sewed it into her garments. She had a white linen garment that she had made for herself, and in her spare time she sewed the letters of 1 John, and the whole garment read the book of 1 John. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. In other words, because he trusteth in her, because of her excellence, she builds him up and supports him. And he becomes something in the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. In other words, she's a businesswoman. I don't think it's talking about the career woman that we often hear about today, but it's definitely a businesswoman who sees the need of her family and the how to minister to those needs. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in the time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. God bless you, mothers. God bless you, wives, for this needed thing in the world. Wise women who speak, who when she speaks, there's the in her tongue is the law of kindness. In her tongue is the law of kindness. Always a kind word to the needy. God bless you for those of you who do that. She looks well to the ways of her household, and she eateth not the bread of idleness. She's not just wasting her time while she's here. She's active. She does not eat the bread of idleness. She doesn't just eat her meal and just say, well, I'm done. And hey, what can I? I don't want to do anything more. I think I'll just sit idle for a while here. No, she's always thinking, what should I do now? How should I make this time that I have now profitable to my family, to my husband, to the Lord? She eateth not the bread of idleness. She's an active woman. I don't know. When you take these words, when you take what we've experienced here this morning and you set it out here, lay it all out in front of our eyes. And now you drive out of this parking lot and you go to the grocery store and you see the magazines and you see the billboard signs. And all the world is saying to you, do you hear the same message? Are you hearing the same thing? No. It's opposed, isn't it? The opinion of the world is 180 degrees going a totally different direction. You know, it's go to the Bahamas, get under a palm tree, drink a pina colada, lay in your sunning chair, take it easy, waste your time, enjoy yourself. It's all about you. You need some time alone. Right? That's the world. That's the world's philosophy. But when we lay it aside here this morning, it looks so unnatural to me, doesn't it? It looks so ungodly. It's so wrong, that kind of thinking. Her children rise up and call her blessed. That's what we experienced this morning. Her children arise up and say, God bless you, Mama. God bless you. I see your life was sacrificed. I see you gave up your own career. I see you gave up your own life. God bless you. I want to bless you for doing that. Her children arise up and bless her. Her husband also, he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but you excel them all. I like to hear when a man says, I've got the best wife. The Bible says the same thing. Her husband riseth up and saith, you excel them all. You're the best. Favor is deceitful, meaning charm. Favor is deceitful. That charming character that everybody just so likes her because she has such a charming attitude. She's so charming. She's so favorable to be around. Oh, I like her witty sense. I like her, you know, all the things the world says they like about a woman. The Bible says favor is deceitful. It's not real. You never know what that woman's life is like behind the scenes. And beauty is vain, meaning it's empty. You know the puffball girl? You know, it's always powdering her face. Maybe that's old-fashioned nowadays. It's black eyeshadow and always primping her hair. And I just listened to the testimony of my father that talked about this vanity. He was sharing with us children for Father's Day one time. He made a recording of his experiences back in the days that he was courting my mother. And in those days, it was a big thing to date. And he would take girls out to the out for a soda. And he said, one of the things he said was, it was always funner to take the farm girls out than it was to take the show girls out. Because they were so hung up. He said they spent all their time in the bathroom combing their hair and putting on their lipstick and primping their face, and they were always looking around the room at who was looking at them. And he said it was no fun to be with them. They were just hung up on themselves. He says it was a lot nicer to go with some of these farm girls who just wanted to have a good time together, and they used to buy a soda and drink with two straws and all those kind of things. That's because this beauty is vain. It's vain to get hung up as to whether you've got a gray hair or not, if I can use that one. You know, some women, oh, I'm so afraid I've got a gray hair, oh no. You know, always, I've got, oh, honey, my hair, you know, they're just primping all the time, hung up on their vanity. That's not what I see here. This is not this woman. This woman is not thinking about, oh, I wonder if so-and-so likes the way my hair is today. She's wondering, how can I help that person? What needs to be done here when I come into this room? She's not thinking who's looking at me. She's thinking, who needs me in this room? She's thinking, what needs to be done here? And so the scriptures say that favor, this charm that the world loves, is deceitful. And beauty is vain. You can get that on the beaches of the Bahamas. Charm, beauty, but it's vanity and it's deceitful. But a woman that feareth the Lord, a woman whose life looks God in the face, sees His plan for mankind, submits herself in His role that He has made for her, and exercises herself and her life in giving and doing that which God has designed for her to do, that woman, it says, she shall be praised. God bless you for being those kind of women whose children have something to say about my mother who gave her life up for me. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gate. And that's, I think, what we've done this morning. Here's your fruit, the fruit of your labors this morning. The praise of your children, the praise of your husbands. God bless each one of you for your willingness to subject yourself to God's plan, to God's purposes, and to God's way. And may God strengthen each one of you sisters, each one of you mothers, each one of you wives, give you the grace that it takes, the wisdom that it takes, the love that you need from God to continue unto the end faithful. And in the end, Jesus says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. I have a reward for you. I'll make it well worth your while. And may each one of us, children, husbands, may each one of us give them the reward of their labors and pray. Let their praises praise her in the gates, in our lives, in our lips. And God bless each one of you.
Now I feel like this has been one of the best Mother's Day services that I've been at. And our, like Brother Ted says, it don't get better than this. Thank you all of you for making it that. I just feel so grateful that we can take our dear mothers and wives and lift them up for their selfless lives that they live, and for all of us, husbands and children, and give them this honor. I only regretted that I didn't bring an extra handkerchief along for all the tears that flowed. We should have prepared for that. Well, I just want to thank God and thank you, Brother David, for those words out of Proverbs and 1 Corinthians 7. I think that is so true, how we are balanced, how man is of woman, yet woman came from man. Man came from God, how God orchestrated it all, that just like the Christian home, that we work together for God's glory.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.